words, and I truly felt in purgatory. So we are so lucky to have what we have.
Did your team win?
Of course, but the girls were tripping their way through St. Thomas More's Fields, and the boys yesterday were, I mean, you don't appreciate it until you go someplace and you realize what amazing, you know, facilities we have. I mean, it's fabulous. On that point, I have a question for athletics. So Thursday, we have our athletics banquet or award ceremony. We also have, like, the girls' state cup soccer here at the same time. What's parking going to look like for that?
Is that an athletics question or a parking question?
Well, both events are athletic events.
It's going to be interesting.
I don't know.
Put a yellow vest on and I'll get you right up front.
Send out the emails for
be a valet for the board.
One of the things that probably we ought to do is if they're coming to the banquet, if we can, you know, designate a certain area and say, hey, why don't you park there, and then you park, use the back for the...
The game starts first, so I have a feeling...
Use the back for the game, because that's where people are going to gravitate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then use this area as much as we can. I'm not worried about this, I'm worried about graduation, but I'm...
That comes first.
So okay. we can kind of move to take care of that, Jen.
Athletics, do you have?
There was a report submitted.
Sharing? For those of us who haven't been here.
The boys and girls lacrosse teams finished up super well. The girls were 3-12 last year, and they were 7-8 this year. So,
is that a junior varsity team?
Varsity.
That's varsity. They went varsity last year. And just seeing the girls getting older, I mean, we don't have any seniors playing. We have one, maybe two 11th graders. And then the bulk of it is 9th and 10th graders and a couple 8th graders playing at the varsity level. And just seeing those girls get older from last year, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're more confident. They did much better, and two of the games that they lost were one goal games. The boys are still junior varsity, but they did much better this year as well. And again, as the student body is maturing, as far as the bubble coming through of more students in the upper levels of the high school, the sports programs, at least those two, will pick up.
Well, we have boys across.
I think we're going to go varsity
next year. We can do it. We don't have to. There's no DIA rule that says we can't do that.
Mm-mm. No, I mean they were toying with it for this year, and I think that the boys just didn't feel that they were ready. There's just a size disparity. You get these football players that flip over in the spring, and you get a 210-pound running back, and you got, you know, an 8th or 9th grader that weighs 80 pounds.
This was also the first full season. Like last year, the boys lacrosse had 8-9 games. This year, I think we had close to 13. So, you know.
What was their record?
7-8.
They were 7-8.
They were 7-8 too. That's great.
Mm-hmm. You gotta look at, like, we have some of our players who are like, you know, 3 feet tall and then up against seniors. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's an advantage to us that we can get those eighth graders out on the field, but it's also a disadvantage in that, you know, they're at Yenzo. Yeah. But they're gonna keep going, so it's good.
And the JV girls had a good season too.
They had a fantastic. Yeah. Now that's going to be as those girls are hopping over to the varsity. The team is going to be like an exponential pickup.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be, you know, Kate's going to be nervous because, you know, the lacrosse is coming from Atlantic, which is the rec team over outside of Lewis. So they're training our girls effectively.
Yeah.
And we're working on trying to have boys and girls middle school lacrosse next year.
Oh, good. That would be good.
Well, and the thing is, with soccer and softball and baseball and the other sports that the kids are playing, it's being played countywide. In Sussex County, there's Beach, and Beach is in Ocean City, and Atlantic's in Lewis. there's no recreational lacrosse west of Route 1. So we're missing out on 2/3 of the county. These kids aren't playing it, you know, when they're this tall.
Right.
So there's a hesitation for 9th graders or 8th graders to pick up a stick. But if we can start it in 6th grade,
that'd be awesome.
We can start training these kids earlier, where that, you know, they could be a high school athlete. So
yeah, I would encourage it if we can afford it, then we can staff it.
Well, the nice thing about the girls' teams, it's low drag as far as expenses, for equipment at least, because they just wear eye protection, have a stick.
Right. Yeah, and for the boys, we've talked about going after some grants.
I've applied to U.S. Lacrosse for a first stick program, and I think our profile at the school will assist that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not real fast in getting back to me, but that's in the process.
Maybe over the summer we'll put our heads together and figure out some other foundations where there's some money for that. I'm sure there's some out there.
Well, I know that Steve was having a conversation with me today about lacrosse and earlier lacrosse and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the reality is, the boys that are playing already are going to have all of their own stuff.
Yeah, they are.
You really need it for the 6th graders.
No. But if you have a 6th grader that is playing already, he's going to have his own gear.
Yeah.
So you know, it would be the kids that weren't playing at all.
Right. Just need uniforms and a matching helmet.
Right. Yeah. You know, and the flow down, the god awful JV girls uniforms can flow down to middle school, and
the
purple ones.
I'm not going to make more skirts.
And you know, and so you can shift. You know, the older kids can get newer stuff every few years and shift it down as much as you can. So yeah, I mean it's some jerseys. Really?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
And for the golf team, the average score last year was 242 strokes, and this year it was 206. Mm-hmm. And I think they were third in the conference, I think, this year.
Is it better this year than last year?
So much better.
Okay.
I think that's a big drop.
It's a big drop.
Less is more. Yeah.
And then there is a
cross country.
A athletic awards ceremony tomorrow night, and there's a list, there's numerous awards, but there's a list of the awards on the second page of the report. Steve's doing a great job.
He's doing a great job.
Steve's awesome. I mean, that guy, he is like Mr. Hustle. He's walking in when I get here in the morning, and at 6:30 at night, he's taking pictures of the kids.
He takes
a lot of great pictures that go up on the Facebook page, so that guy's, he's a gem.
He's all over.
Uh-huh.
He's the Energizer Bunny.
He will be out for a little bit upcoming, so he will be incapacitated with surgery. His wife has just gone through 2 major surgeries, so he will be out beginning.
Thursday.
Yeah. So, but he'll be in contact via telephone and or email.
How long?
Well, he thinks he's going to come back in 5 days. His wife, who is a nurse, okay, very, very skilled nurse, thinks he will. So I don't know at this point.
Okay.
Anybody else? So my request for the coming year is that if you have a talent that would be useful on a committee, please let me know. For example, I just found out that Shanta can help write policy. I didn't know. So please, you all know your talents better than I do. Please let me know if you have an area of expertise that would be useful on a committee. If you feel underutilized, let me know.
Who does the legislative report?
I did that one.
That was superb.
Oh,
yeah,
for me.
I would love to get an update, if there is an update on what the governor signed, what he hasn't signed.
I actually...
do we have to start school after Labor Day or not?
Yeah. Trish is forwarding the reports to me from the Delaware Charter School Network, and we just got the next one a few days ago, and I looked at it. Nothing was passed. I just got it, so I haven't created a new report. Nothing was passed or... didn't pass, but some things came out of committee or were sent to committee, and there is one piece of new legislation that was proposed.
I've heard from this was a couple of weeks ago, that the date for the after Labor Day, I heard from the person who originally initiated the bill that we thought it was dead this year.
The big one that we were worried about?
Yeah, not ever, can't start school before Labor Day.
It seemed to me that it was in committee a very long time, so I was wondering.
Your report sounded like it had good bipartisan support.
That's what Jamie told me.
Of any of those statutes that were proposed this year, that had the most bipartisan support. It was amazing, there were like 12 legislators that had their name on it.
I don't know if it is, I'm just saying what he said to me.
But, it didn't seem to go, it so far hasn't gone anywhere that I know of.
He didn't think it was gonna come out of committee, that's basically what he didn't think.
Education wins out over cotton candy one more time.
Regardless of what I think about the bill in terms of school, see, because there's a financial issue and there's a school, there's the running of schools, and of course I want all the money that we can possibly have. But I found it interesting in terms of talking with him about his rationale. It was helpful for me to see kind of another point of view about it.
The way it was proposed is how much revenue it would mean for the state.
Yeah, that's what that was.
It's, you know, it's a,
Maryland and Virginia chimed in. And,
mm-hmm.
And hearing that information instead of seeing a short snippet in the newspaper was made me think more deeply about it.
Well, I compliment you for that piece. I thought it was superb.
Thank you.
And keeping us all informed of things we should know about. Just like right now, we don't know what the impact on education is going to be other than what they told down or to consider yourself getting 1.3 or 1.5% less from the state. But that's just a guess. So, but at June 30th, it's going to be known, or July 1st, it'll be known.
I feel like potentially, as I hear, you know, different things in the community, and I have a child at Lower Baltimore as well, and I think that the more cuts that the traditional public schools get, the more that's going to drive people to places like this, I would imagine. If they see it as programs getting cut, you know, then, you know, I don't know.
I found it interesting too, and this was in the journal this week, the differential, at least as reported and as the different districts they went to, the differential across different school districts in terms of their cuts. I mean, everybody's going to be cut the same percentage, but it was interesting to me on where the impacts as reported were going to be in what districts. And they were very different.
Really?
In other words, you might have a Newcastle County, more metropolitan school district, and two districts that are both in that boat, and one's cutting nobody, and the other is cutting.
Oh, because it's up to the school district
They're going to survive the cuts.
And the other element is where they have their money. I mean, it's mm-hmm. where they have their money invested programmatically, okay, can also play a role. Where they invest it from a program standpoint.
Did you read the thing I sent you from Ron Russo?
Not yet, but I did get it 2 days ago. I read the first paragraph, and probably I've thought that for 20 years.
This guy, Ron Russo, was the founding CEO of Charter School of Wilmington, and before that was the principal of
St. Mark's.
So he's invested in education. He retired from Charter School of Wilmington probably 10 years ago. He's now working for Caesar Rodney Institute, which is a think tank in Wilmington, as their education guy. And he came out with this very strongly worded statement saying, if we gotta cut expenses, let's finally go to 5 school districts. One in Sussex, one in Kent, 2 in Newcastle, and 1 for the bow tags. And he made a very persuasive argument, even though he said, if you go to any one of the 19 school districts we have, they will tell you that there's no savings from consolidating the superintendent's office. From, you know, Laurel and Seaford shouldn't get together because you're not going to save any money, which defies thinking to me. I mean, it just doesn't seem rational.
Right.
But he made a very good argument that four or five more paragraphs beyond that lead paragraph that goes into the rationale for it.
The other auditor's office, Wagner.
Mm.
He's proffered that argument for a long time. I mean, proffered the argument.
Yeah, he's got the wrong party, from the wrong party. We've got to get some of the Democratic leadership, like our governor, who's going to be here for commencement, to get on board with us. Because if it doesn't pick up any steam from the head of the government, then it's not going to go anywhere. So anyway, I think it's an interesting argument.
Well, I think what is an interesting argument, if anybody would just really sit down, and I'm sure somebody has in the past, to sit down and figure the money.
Hmm.
Okay, instead of saying, no, it will work, yes, it will work, let's see where's the money? Let's see the money. Let's see what the monetary impact is and how does that impact the school district.
That's what a Department of Education should do, but the governor has to tell the Department of Education, I want the analysis on my desk in a month. Somebody that has authority has to do something about it. It seems to me. Anyway.
So I guess we need in June to elect officers for the coming year. And if anyone would like to run for any position, please let me know. Jen has agreed to run for vice president. No one's been, if anybody wants to run for president, let me know.
Everyone's laughing.
Nope.
I don't see anything.
I don't think so.
We're way too wise for
crawling
that.
Crawling under the table.
We've been around too long.
All right. Anybody have any other thing? Anything else under committees?
We decided we're going to table the whole board position till next meeting. Board member.
New board members.
New board members. Yeah.
So would it be, just so we kind of have an idea, is it your intention to appoint someone at that time, or is it your intention to wait until a July?
Well, I mean, I don't know what everyone's intention is. What I know is that we have three applications. Two were old applications that we could revisit. One new application. I'm going to contact this one application because I think he sounds interesting, and have a conversation with him.
I think we would like to see if there is anyone with a building or construction, because we are going to have ongoing maintenance. We would like to see, and thought maybe Joe could reach out if he knew of anyone that would like to be on the board with that background.
Okay.
Normally we would be voting right now, and then we would induct those new members in June. But I don't feel like we're in a position to do that. So potentially we could make some decisions over the next several weeks and
vote by email.
And then
can we do that?
No, we can't do that.
We can't do that.
But
we also have. We have 12 board members on the foundation, and they're now invested in the school. And some of them have children at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And would be probably more interested in being part of the school board than the foundation board.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't asked the question, but I will. I'll send out an email.
Is there a construction person?
No, not that I can think of. We got a lawyer, we got an Indian chief.
So anyway, I think that's kind of the strategy.
Okay. Yeah, and the only reason I ask is that when July 1 comes, we need to turn in our list of who our board is. But that shouldn't be a reason to make a decision. I just wanted to know when they send the email.
Well, normally what we do is we vote at May and we invite them to join us for the June meeting. They get sworn in June and then September is their first official meeting.
I think our hope is that within the next 2 weeks, we know what we want to do.
Okay.
But we're hoping that maybe there's a resource out there that we haven't tapped yet.
Yeah, I have somebody in mind for your construction guy.
Okay, perfect.
Naturally, he works for Shell with us, but he's not a Shell.
All right, any other? Anything else? Any old business? Any new business?
I haven't heard from Debbie Fees about the final tally on colleges. Maybe everybody else heard this at the last board meeting, but I didn't. We have 38 seniors. How many are going off to college?
37. One has joined the Army. I'm trying to do this off the top of my head.
Yeah.
They're going to 8 different states. We have 11 going to Del Tech. Of those, most are getting seed scholarship. And I believe that almost all of them, I believe 10 of the 11, are four-year bound. So they're using the 2 years at Del Tech as a connected program toward a four-year degree. That's their plan. And then the remainder are going to traditional four-year colleges. I'm working on a tally of an aggregate amount of scholarships that our students have been offered. And I have not yet heard back from about 8 of them, but so far I'm up to $1.5 million.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
The bulk of that is, you know, here's a college saying we'll give you $20,000 a year if you'll come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's merit money. I'm not including the financial aid, non-merit, need-based.
Do you think, Debbie, that the competition to get students into colleges has sort of aggravated the admissions office? They have to offer more scholarship in order for a child they admitted to come. If the child says, well, I got 3 offers and this one's a lot more money than you are.
So it's an interesting year. Nationwide, so far it appears to be a 6% overall increase in applications to colleges. And I have yet to see how that parses out as is it each student applying to more and running up the tally, or is it that we simply have more first generation entering the pool than ever before? I think it's probably a combination of both. I know the wait lists were not used very much this year from what I'm hearing so far, and there'll be more data that I get over the summer. But it was a very competitive year. Very, like, colleges were saying it's like, UNC was up 12% in their applicants.
Wow.
Nationwide it seems to be about 6%. So it does interesting things to the pool. Maybe they don't have to offer as much money because if there's more students accepting, there's more students getting declined. And so, you know, they may not have as many options.
Okay.
Debbie's gonna give them a little bit of a commentary at the dinner just as an information item to the attendees at the dinner. And then after things settle out, after graduation, she'll pull something together in writing that'll come to the board. But right now, some things are still in flux, even in terms while kids have been accepted, and they may say, well, I'm going, they've been accepted. There are some things that are still in flux. Is that a fair statement, Debbie, in terms of you're getting from them how much, the whole issue of how much money have you gotten and?
Their college plans are firm, but I'm still waiting to hear from students that I know were most likely offered merit money that have not yet given me those letters.
Okay.
So that $1.5 million is only going to go up.
Yeah.
So is that 1.5 over 37 students, or is it 1.5 over some smaller base?
No, that's the 37.
So even the ones that are going to Del Tech are receiving merit-based scholarships?
So I counted seed money in there,
okay,
which is almost $13,000 a kid, you know, if you take the per semester, and that's based on the UD rate, I mean the Del Tech rate, not the UD rate, so.
That's incredible. That's like $40,000 a student.
Yeah, and it is a little skewed because there's like one student who got a lot of money from a lot of colleges. But I would say overall it was pretty nicely spread too. We had a lot of our students getting a lot of really nice offers. Of course, the cost of college has gone up.
It just blows you away though, 1.5 million on such a small population.
It's good stuff.
Debbie, when do they start working on their essays? At what point in their junior year?
Well, Grace started writing today.
Oh.
In August. So they, in the college prep course in 10th
grade. Okay, gotcha.
We do a first, I call it a burp, let's burp it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 11th grade, like I'll be going back into the TOK classes on June the 6th, right before they leave for summer. And we'll be doing another revisit of the essay so they can then start working on that rough draft. And they've asked me to do an essay boot camp in August.
Who's asked you?
The juniors.
Okay.
So that we can get a kickstart on the application process for the fall.
Cool. And you're going to do that?
Yes. Oh, if they
have to. For 10th graders?
No, for rising seniors.
That's a great idea.
That was their idea.
Yeah. Really?
They asked.
Wonderful. Party. Cool. The kids.
Well, that's awesome.
I think we can't believe it.
Any public comments?
Well, I know Julia mentioned this earlier, but I just wanted to say that this past weekend, the Sussex Academy Drama Program performed Beauty and the Beast, and it was really awesome, and like she said, we had an incredible turnout, and I really hope that you guys got a chance to see it, and if you didn't, I hope you'll consider attending future productions.
I've heard nothing but great reviews. Unfortunately, I didn't see it, so it's not first time.
No executive session today? Mm-hmm. All right, can I get
any? I move the meeting here.
Joe moves to adjourn the meeting. Do I have a second?
At 5:15.
Who was that, Steve?
Second, Steve Burke.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting's adjourned at 5:15.